You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Hodgkin's lymphoma is a cancer of the lymphatic system, which is part of your immune system. In Hodgkin's lymphoma, cells in the lymphatic system grow abnormally and may spread beyond the lymphatic system itself. As Hodgkin's lymphoma progresses, it compromises your body's ability to fight infection. Our guest today had Hodgkin's lymphoma, underwent conventional treatment, but what cleared her of the disease was cannabis oil. And joining us from the UK to tell her story is Gail Wilkie. Take us through the process of how you were diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma.
I found a lump under my arm, and I just presumed it were, you know, it didn't go after so long. So I thought I might need antibiotics. So I went to my GP, and then they referred me to hospital. And they quite quickly diagnosed with me for Hodgkin's lymphoma.
That must have been
I didn't know anything. You know, I didn't know what it was. I still didn't even know it was cancer. I'd never heard of it called Hodgkin's lymphoma, you know. So, it was a shock.
It must have been a hell of a shock for you to find out a little lump under your arm and then you have cancer.
Yeah, very much so.
What treatment did you undergo?
At first I got told it were the easiest to get rid of, and it only just moved from the first area. So they said 6 month chemo. I ended up having 11 different chemos because I couldn't get rid of it. Every one of them failed, and a stem cell transplant as well. That also failed.
Wow.
What was chemo like for you?
Different chemos, you know, were different. The first one weren't too bad. The second one, horrific. And then just about horrific after that, to be fair.
So when you say not too bad, Gail, what's not too bad mean? Does that mean you're just a little queasy and you lost your hair, or?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I lost my hair, yeah. Just feeling a little bit off it and tired were the first one, really. But the second one, I actually felt like I was going mad. I felt like it was in my head. It was strange. It was just awful, you know, like I just had a bad head constantly, but so bad I could feel it up my neck, it was just awful. And then a lot of pains, you know, we're putting the chemo into my veins, I was getting a lot of pain, they just put me on tramadol and, you know, anything, just, it was just a matter of, just to stop the pain, they had to get it in, so I had to take whatever they give me to kind of stop the pain.
How many months did you undergo chemo, Gail?
Altogether. It was March when I started my chemo 2014. And
just roughly. Must have felt like a lifetime, though.
Yeah, it did feel like a lifetime, yeah, because it was going straight from one chemo to next. It was just constant for, 2 years, 2.5 years. Not good.
So you had 11 different chemos, so were they looking for a particular chemo that would actually kill the cancer or get rid of it or minimize it?
None of them would. None of them would work. They must have their own protocol to follow. Certain chemos, you know, what were for Hodgkin's lymphoma, and they told me, you know, I was running out of options. Every time it was going further on, nothing was working. So,
were you looking for any alternatives while you were going through these rounds of chemo, or were you just kind of, I mean, you know, I think a number
not at
of
first.
Yeah, you just sort of believe that it's going to work via what the doctor says.
Yeah, and I didn't realize I had any other option at that time at first. It wasn't until the doctor was actually saying, look, we're on the last go here. Nothing else has worked. We're running out of options, and I thought this is not how it's supposed to be going. You know, it originally told me 6 month chemo had begun, no problem, don't worry. And then they were telling me we're running out of options. So at that point, I did start, going on internet researching. I just felt that there had to be something out there. And I was surprised at what I found. I really was. Although it's not available, the information's not available to people. You know, you don't hear it. It's on the internet. If you go on the internet and you search things up, you find out that there actually is things you can do.
When the doctors told you they were running out of options, did they tell you that you were running out of time as well? Did they say you had a couple of years left? They did?
Yeah. Yeah. They gave me 12 to 18 months.
How old were you at that point?
40.
Wow.
Two children.
Oh, my goodness.
12 to 18 months.
Yeah.
What's going through your head at that time?
No way. I just thought, no way.
I can't. I have kids.
Nowhere. Yeah, I'm going nowhere. I'd promised them that Mummy were going to be fine. And I know it probably weren't a good thing to say, obviously. But I'd already said it. I'd already promised them. So there was no way I was going anywhere.
Now, when you decided that you weren't going to undergo the final chemo treatment, is that how it unfolded?
The chemo that they wanted to give me wasn't even for my cancer. I'd had every single one for my cancer, and my doctor before had been concerned about how much chemo I'd had anyway. And I did say this to the other doctors, and I said, can my body stand it? All the treatment I've had, will it be able to take more? And basically, it was my only option. That's how they put it. It was my only option. They couldn't guarantee anything. They couldn't guarantee that it were even going to do anything. You know, they were basically saying, this is us, we're trying anything to try and save you, basically.
They were just experimenting, hoping that they could save you, yes.
Yeah.
So, Gail,
also, I knew by that point, I'd done my research, and at that point, I thought, they're just going to carry on giving me chemo until I die. You know, it's the way it works. They'll just carry on pumping you full of it.
How were you feeling physically at the time?
Exhausted, and, very poorly at that point.
How did you stumble upon cannabis oil?
Reading up on the internet. I read a lot of stories, and I did a lot of researching that were, as the time were going on, I spent more and more time researching and then, asking about or asking people, has anybody heard anything? Does anybody know anyone what can get it? It was starting to get a race against time. But, all come good, so.
When you decided to forego chemo and do cannabis oil, what sort of reaction did you get from others?
To be honest, I tried keeping it to myself. Mm. That were, I didn't tell people. So I were hoping that I'd be able to do it, and no one would know about it. Obviously it didn't work out like that, and I did have to tell people. There's still a lot of people that don't actually know. My boss. It's the whole, it's illegal. People think it's, drugs are drug. It's illegal for a reason.
Yeah, there's all the stigma around it still, unfortunately.
Yeah, there is. And at the end of the day, I had no other choice. I mean, I'm so glad now, but, I had no choice. If anybody else were in my position, I'm sure they'd have done it.
But I think you did the right thing, because we've heard Corey.
It's cured it.
Yeah, no, but I mean, not telling friends.
And I think
friends and family can really dissuade you from what you feel in your heart and your gut is the right thing to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, did you feel in your heart of hearts that this was going to help you? Or were you just so bloody desperate you had to try something?
A bit of both, I guess. But I don't know. They say a gut feeling. Even when I was researching, I just knew there was something out there. I knew there was something. I kind of figured it looking like chemo wasn't going to kill me, but I knew there was something out there. And then when I was reading up on it, I thought, all these people can't be wrong. There's got to be something in it. And I just, a kind of excitement, you know, I mean, it's a plant, you know, it's, there was someone telling me, that it could do me good. It could work.
I remember when I went through this, there weren't a lot of Facebook groups back in the day, and I was completely on my own with this, but I remember thinking to myself that if anything was going to save me, this was going to be it. But I fluctuated between that and looking at this tube of black shit and thinking, this is going to save my life. You know? And here we are. Here we are 5 years later when they said I had 2 to 4 months. You know, And I've seen this work miracles over and over and over again since. But it's definitely a leap of faith. But when you're desperate, and obviously the chemo was killing you, and you had kids too, you do what you have to do. Yeah. Was it hard for you to find? Because, you know, the UK is full of scammers. I mean, certainly we have them in the States and in Canada, but not to the extent that the UK does. Was it difficult to source out oil that was good oil?
Yeah, it was difficult, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to, you really have got to do your research, and you've got to be careful, like you said, because there are a lot of scammers out there.
Yeah, we're certainly not asking you to disclose names or anything like that.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's very hard.
It's not like there's just someone, you know, on the street. Yeah, I can get you it. No, it doesn't happen like that.
No, and you don't want to be buying it off the street. That's for sure.
No, yeah, but it is hard. It's not easy to get.
So you get the oil and you start taking it.
Mm-hmm.
When do you? What's the first thing you notice?
I think it was the second time I'd had it under my tongue. And I realized I'm not going to be able to hide this from people. That's right. For sure. So it's obviously it's getting used to it. And obviously I have 2 children. And so my oldest daughter, you know, I had to tell her straight away. You know, she was 15 at the time. Mm. So I had to tell her straight away so that, you know, she were aware. Obviously she only had to look at me to know. So, yeah, it was getting used to the high. Obviously, I had a lot of suppository as well, which was fantastic because I didn't get the high. And when you're not used to it, you know, being able to build up that way was good.
Yes.
But, yeah, the tiredness, just being tired. I just felt like I was tired a lot. I was sleeping a lot. Obviously, it's when your body recovers, isn't it? When things happen when you're sleeping, so it is essential. But yeah, I can remember, you know, feeling great when I'd woke up. You know, I did feel a lot better. Yeah, I'd sleep for a long time, and it took me a long time to wake up. But once I come round, I did feel loads better than what I had, certainly, you know, while I've been having the chemo. And I think my body had so much chemo that I'd felt so bad. It was fantastic just to, you know, feel good again, feel nice again.
How much oil were you taking a day?
I had to build up. At first, I was taking it while I was on my last lot of chemo. I was so poorly that they were taking me into hospital, you know, infections constantly. So I couldn't take it into the hospital with me. You know, so it was starting it and then having to been in hospital, coming out, having to start it again, until I turned around and I said, that's it, no more chemo, I'm having no more. And I got my head down then and, you know, I built up gradually, you know, from a little amount, the ice cream amount, and just kept going as I felt my body could, really.
So you were doing both suppositories and orally, or would you do it, say, orally at night and suppositories in the day, or...?
I were having it under my tongue before I went to sleep. But a suppository, I were having it 2-3 times a day.
Okay, yeah, that's generally what they tell my young mums who've got kids and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
to do it that way.
Yeah,
you were high. Just to clarify to people, you were taking high THC oil.
Yeah. Yes.
Gail, I want to ask you, when you were taking the oil, you slept a lot, which your body needs to repair and recover. And I'm sure there was a lot of anxiety within your system because of the chemo that you'd taken and the fact that the doctors didn't give you much of a chance to live. So you needed that time to recover. When did you start noticing some other health benefits?
You know, it was pretty much after, say, you know, a couple of months, I just felt a lot better. I felt a lot, it's hard to explain. I could tell by how I felt, I knew there was something going off, and I knew that.
So you felt like it was turning around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the hospital, you know, were on at me at that point because I basically said to them, I need time out. My body needs time to repair. I don't believe that I'm strong enough to take any more, so I need time out. You know, I'll think about the chemo that you're offering me at a later date. That was just my way of trying to keep them there, you know, if I needed them. But,
yes, yeah.
And so basically, they were on at me all the time. And I said, you know, after so many, 4 months, I says, if you give me a scan, I says, then... I will, you know, I wait for results at scan and then I will have the chemo. But they don't like giving you the scans unless they're like 6 months apart, do they? And it would be for the 6 months. But they did say they would. So I was excited, but I expected when I got the results, I expected it to be the same, which is, you know, it's good because after all the chemo that I'd had, it was getting worse and worse and worse. It comes back more aggressive the more chemo they give you it. So after all that time, it should have got worse, a lot worse. So I thought if it's the same, which I felt like, I mean, I did feel better, but I dare get my hopes up too high. So I thought if it stays the same as what it was, then, you know, that's all good.
Yes.
And it's got to be doing something. So when I got the results and they said it were all gone, there's just no words to explain.
I so know that
I couldn't
feeling.
Believe it.
I so know that feeling. It was just, yeah. So what's going through your mind?
Like the doctor didn't know how to tell me, you know, as well. It was kind of like, it's, you know.
What was your reaction? Like, what's good? Are you like thinking you've misheard wrong or?
No, I just, there was just a big grin on me, my face. I guess I was kind of, in a way, trying to act surprised. You know, I knew exactly what had done it.
The doctors must have felt that it was the chemo finally working.
You know, I think, I mean, I had said at some point, you know, before, I had asked my doctor his views on the cannabis oil, and it said there were no evidence to support it, but that's all. I only said, what are your views on it? I did tell him a lot of, you know, supplements that I were taking, because they do ask what you're taking. So I did tell him what supplements I started taking, and he just said that basically I were wasting my money, you know. So he knew, it did know what had gone off, and he did actually say to me, you know, whatever you're doing, carry on doing it, without saying anything else.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting, the reactions. Yeah, sorry. It's interesting the reactions you get from the medical community. Some are accepting, some are not accepting, and some are very, very old school and say that cannabis, there's no evidence that it works. And others will even say that there's no evidence that nutrition works. And it's like taking vitamin C. All they say is you're just you're peeing it out. Well, that's fine. Yeah. You may be peeing out some, but you need vitamin C. What other nutritional changes have you made in your life as a result of this?
Changing to organic. I make sure I alkaline my body. I'm always, you know, testing it on the strips. So it's having lemon juice squeezed in water, bicarbonate soda squeezed in water, a lot of smoothies, getting on my nutrition, and it's always organic. I've changed a lot of things. You know, the more I've done my research, the more I realise, you know, spray deodorant. I used to use spray deodorant. And I was horrified to find that that in itself can cause cancers. So, yeah, it's been a real learning curve for me.
It's interesting you mentioned spray deodorants because you had a lump under the arm.
Under the arm, yeah. Mm. And when I'd read up, that could have possibly been caused. You know, the colour, obviously you can't pinpoint it, but apparently a lot of breast cancers and, you know, when it comes to around that area, can be because of chemical that's in spray deodorants, and yet they sell it in supermarkets. It's unbelievable.
So how do you feel now compared to when you were diagnosed with your lymphoma?
Oh, I feel absolutely fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Are you taking a maintenance dose of cannabis oil?
Yeah, I do.
Good.
Yeah, I do.
Good. That's so important to do.
Yeah.
How much is your maintenance?
I've changed. I'd say a rice grain amount, say once a week or once every 2 weeks, just a rice grain amount, that's all. So it's only a little amount.
I'd encourage you to be doing it every day just to keep that cannabinoid level up in your system. Absolutely. Yeah. We've seen, or I have seen in the past, some really major wins with cancer and cannabis oil. And when they've stopped, it's come back with a vengeance.
Yeah. I have heard stories myself. But yeah, I'll start taking it a little bit more often then. But yeah. I mean, I've changed a lot of, you know, foods that I have. I still take all my supplements that I was taking. I'm still trying to, because it's important to detox your body, you know, all that chemo that I've had.
Yes.
It's getting it all out. It can stay there for a long time, can't it? Doing damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
have you ever done a liver cleanse?
No, I haven't done a liver cleanse. I have, is it milk?
Milk Thistle?
Thistle, is it?
Milk Thistle, yeah.
Yeah. That is, that's, but yeah. That's for your liver, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's for your liver. Yeah, if you do a liver cleanse, stuff will come out of your body that you had no idea was in there. But make sure that you have access to the bathroom when you do it, though. Because the one that I've done is you take you just eat fruit during the day, and then you stop eating after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock at night, you put a tablespoon of Epsom salts in water, mix it up, drink it down. It's not great. And then you do the same thing in the morning at 6 and 8, and you stay close to a washroom, and it's fantastic. You'll feel really good.
I do put Epsom salts in the bath, and I do coffee enemas, you know, every so often. But yeah, it's really interesting, you know, as I've gone into it, finding out what does what. You know, I'd never even heard of all these things. They are so important, aren't they?
No, yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, how does your 15-year-old daughter at the time, how does she feel about you using cannabis?
She was horrified at the time when she found out. I didn't think that it would work. obviously now it has. She's just amazed. She really is. Obviously, it's a difficult age, isn't it, that age? You've got to be careful what, you know, how you put things and what's going on in the head. It's, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, she's handled it fairly well.
Is she supportive or just...
Yeah, she is now. At first, you know, and the thing was as well, I hadn't actually been honest with her. I hadn't told her that they said 12 to 18 months because I couldn't bear to say it to her.
Sorry, Corey, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, did you tell her after the fact?
Yeah, I told her. Yeah. Yeah, she knows now.
Oh, that's a great story, though. Have you told other family members what you've...
Everyone knows now. I mean, everyone knew. Yeah, after a couple of months, everybody knew I were doing it. So it was just at first. And then I guess you just tell... Obviously, I told my mum and it just kind of filters round. Your mum will tell your auntie and, you know, it gets round. So, yeah, everybody knows the full story now.
The phone lines were burning up, eh?
Yeah,
they could probably tell.
It's awful that you should be made to feel like that, you know.
Oh, I know.
It's just horrible.
Well, they could tell because they were saying, my God, that Gail's undergone some massive chemo and it's like she's higher than a kite.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Gil, is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion?
I think for anybody that's, you know, going through cancer or anything else, do your research. It's the best thing you can do. It really is. Don't listen, you know, if someone tells you something, do your research on what someone said constantly. You know, I'd read things and I'd, you know, even when it comes down to little things like supplements, and I'd research into them, find out exactly what they're doing, find out exactly, you know, exactly how cancer works, and keep positive.
Well said, and it's great that you're healthy and you're cancer free. Gail, I have one last question for you.
Yeah.
Do we have an accent to you?
Do we have what's of it?
No, when you hear us speak, do
yeah. We, do you have an accent? Do, yeah.
Do we?
Of course we do, Ian.
I know.
Ian's been smoking some of that stuff. Just saying.
No, it's great to talk to you, Gail. Wonderful story.
Yes, Gail, wonderful story. And thank you so much for doing this and doing this in what is late for you. Much appreciated.
And stay on the maintenance dose.
Yes, please stay on the maintenance dose.
Yep, definitely. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
And that's another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. If you'd like to tell your story about the medical use of cannabis, then send us an email at info@cannabishealthradio.com and include in that email just a little background on your issue. And, of course, we'll contact you and we'll set up an interview. That's info@cannabishealthradio.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. Wherever you are in the world, we appreciate your listenership and your support.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.